Jessica Spicer.
Nathan Epstein.
Adam Raylan.
Murray Rudisill.
Ben Farsi.
Becca D'Annunzio.
Tom Hall.
Carol Robertson.
Mike Crawley.
And so much more. This is Nick's Golf Guy Podcast, bringing you course reviews, interviews, and stories from around the golf world. So stick around. Welcome to Nick's Golf Guy Podcast, round 34, the podcast designed for average golfers like me. Coming to you from Bite a Week Golf Course, Portsmouth, Virginia today. My show spotlights golfers making a difference in the game here in coastal Virginia and beyond. I'm really excited about this round 34, and glad you could join me. On today's round, I am continuing my new series, Promoting PGA Hope, which stands for Helping Our Patriots Everywhere. It's a program to help military veterans cope with transitioning to civilian life through the game of golf. My guest today is Matt Sheely, a 14-year military veteran who struggled with transitioning to civilian life and found PGA Hope to be a remedy to help in that transition. So join me as we learn more about Matt Sheely's journey and how PGA Hope has influenced his post-military career here on Nick's Golf Guy Podcast. Welcome to Nick's Golf Guy Podcast, round 34. On today's round, I'm continuing my series, PGA Hope, a program designed to help military veterans transition into civilian life by introducing those veterans to the game of golf. With that, I would like to introduce my special guest today, Matt Sheely. Matt, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
All right. Glad to have you. So let's kind of go back on your little timeline of life that I like to do and talk about, you know, who introduced you to the game of golf and when you got started playing.
Sure, absolutely. So my dad always played golf.
Uh-huh.
Always saw him leave with his golf clubs and then come back a few hours later, as probably most people did. But I got more into golf when I was in high school, and my neighbor was actually, she was the LPGA pro at a course local, and she got me a job.
Oh, really?
And okay. I was one of those cart guys that took the carts in and washed them off and plugged them in when you got done playing golf, and then I worked there all through high school and kind of got a bug for it and just picked it up and played ever since. So.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. But you didn't play competitively in high school or anything?
No, I was never that good to consider myself a competitive player, so right. I like playing and I enjoy it, but I know where my limits are.
Right. As we all do, especially me today on the course, but we'll bypass that. So let's talk about when you left the military. You were in the military.
Yes.
Kind of just talk about that experience. Did you go in after high school or what happened?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I didn't join the military right out of high school like most people do. I was actually 26 years old when I joined the Navy. My dad was in the Navy for 25 years, and I'd always said if I was going to join the military, that would be it. 2008, 2009 timeframe, I was working for some different operations jobs and some managing and marketing things, and the market wasn't so well around that time.
No, that was a pretty rough hatch in American history, sure.
Absolutely. So I was like, you know what, there's got to be some better things. And I was like, you know, I grew up military. That's got to be a good life for my wife and kids. I saw it growing up. So walked across the street to the recruiting office and joined the Navy when I was 26. And I did 14 years. I was a hospital corpsman, which is basically like medical guy. Worked with the Marines a lot and was on a ship and worked in some hospitals. And then I was in for 14 years. And then about 2 years ago, I started getting sick. And I had constantly battled migraines, but one day I thought I was having a stroke.
Oh, wow.
I had like the symptoms of a stroke. I had no weakness. I had weakness on my left side. My face was drooping, and they took it really serious. And then come to find out, my migraines had increased to a point where they categorized me in this thing called hemiplegic migraines. And so they were like, we can't treat you anymore, but we want to continue to take care of you, but you can't stay in the military. So I was at that point, I was 14 years in. I was like, oh, what am I going to do now?
Oh, no.
You know, so
kind of like you were cruising along in your career, and all of a sudden this physical ailment happened, and
absolutely. Yeah, it happened, and I didn't know what to do with it because it was, you know, for the better part of, you know, for almost 14, 15 years now, that's all I knew was the Navy. So, you know, when they told me that, I was like, all right, great, I got to get out. But when I was in the process of getting out because of that medical issue, I was introduced to the Navy Wounded Warrior Program.
Uh-huh.
And in that program, I told them what my interests were and what my likes were, and they try to take care of those wounded veterans or those wounded people transitioning.
Right.
And they introduced me to sports as a therapy, means of therapy. So I went to a golf tournament, played in that golf tournament with the Wounded Warrior, and I met Sean Bowman, who is the PGA Hope ambassador for the Middle Atlantic region.
Right.
And we started talking, and he introduced me, and he told me what PGA Hope was all about.
Right.
And,
yeah, I had Sean Bowman on round 30 of Nick's Golf Guy podcast. He was kind of like the first,
absolutely,
kind of like the first PGA Hope exposure I've had on the podcast. So that's kind of how you were introduced to PGA Hope, by meeting Sean.
Right. Yeah, by meeting Sean, and we played in two tournaments after that, and then he told me about PGA Hope and that there was a clinic coming up, and I should join. So I signed up for it, and that was the fall course of 2022. So just a little over a year ago.
Interesting. That kind of is a good segue. What were your expectations from PGA Hope when you signed up for the program? It's a 6 to 8 week program, correct?
Right. It's 6 to 8 weeks, depending on, you know, what how many people they have and what they're working with. But I really didn't know what my expectations would be because like I said, I'd played golf a little bit. I wasn't the gung ho, I'm gonna golf every weekend and play every day that I can kind of guy. But if the opportunity arose, I would play a round of golf. And so going into it, I knew I had some skills, but my skills weren't that great. And then once we got that first day of class and they explained it to us, it was amazing because they have specially trained PGA pros within the area that are trained to work with veterans specifically to come out and help with therapeutic aspects of golf and what it can do for those veterans that are seeking something, whether it's transitioning or whether it's working with a disability or whether it's working with, new to the game itself and just trying to, start a new hobby because you have this time on your hands now.
Let's hope they don't struggle with anxiety because that would probably not,
Absolutely. Absolutely. It just amp it up even more. But once they explained the program to us and that these PGA professionals were here to help teach us the basics of golf and how to actually play golf and what to look for, the course etiquette, how to play a round of golf and really just, take you from beginner to intermediate, player. It was just an amazing thing once I figured out what it was all about.
So did you go through the whole program with the same people?
I did actually. I went through the whole program with the same people and it was a great experience because we had, before the Hope Clinic, we had three of us that went through it had actually played in a few tournaments with Wounded Warrior.
Okay.
And so that was our transition into PGA Hope, was from Wounded Warrior to PGA Hope, and that's where we're settling now.
I'm noticing a theme with that. Could we stop for a moment?
Yeah, sure.
Not stop, but when I spoke with Sean last time, he said he kind of had that Wounded Warrior experience as well, and it kind of just naturally transitioned into PGA Hope. Is it something that you've seen more often than not, the veterans coming over from Wounded Warriors projects directly into PGA Hope?
So I think it's a good segue for those individuals that are in the Wounded Warrior program because of medical issues. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't matter what it is, if it's a physical ailment, a mental disability, something that you're dealing with psychologically, whatever, it's Wounded Warrior is there to help you transition out and to give you the care that you need. Because of that, they have different adaptive sports that they go on, and golf at one point was one of them. And so with golf, we meet all these people that are going through the same thing we are, and it just so happened that, hey, guess what? PGA has come together and created this program for veterans because we want to help those individuals transition and find a place where they can settle in with people they know, people that they have common ground with, and that they can still, feel that camaraderie that they felt when they were in the service. And so with Hope, it stands for helping our patriots everywhere, and that's really what their goal is. And so that transition was just great because, I'm no longer with the Wounded Warrior, but now I have PGA Hope to really give me that camaraderie, like I said, that we all look for in the military and that we all want afterwards.
Right.
And we're working with, we're playing golf with people that were in the service just like us, had experiences just like us, and know our sense of humor, if you will, and know what we went through. And, they have an understanding of who we are and what we did. So.
Yeah, interesting. The military is kind of like a reality of its own within our reality. Like there's civilians like me who've never served in the military. My family has, but I have not. And, they all kind of have that side to them that only they understand, like, their conversations. I'm like, wait a minute, what does that mean?
Absolutely.
I've golfed with a couple of Navy guys out in at Souls Point one time in Norfolk. They worked on the flight deck on an aircraft carrier, and they all had their they were talking their Navy talk, and I was like, what does this mean exactly? Like, what does that mean,
Absolutely.
So that's kind of a really good backdrop to PGA Hope, is everybody kind of has the same thing in common. You're coming from that same kind of background in the military, and and we're all here to do the same thing.
Right. And you know, it's not just for, like I said, for people that went through medical issues or medical challenges. It's for any veteran
right.
that wants to learn how to play golf or has played golf or, you know, like I said, like I did, the occasional golfer.
Right.
Anybody can come out, you know, veterans and family members are encouraged to participate in this so that way they can build those skills and, like I said, build that core group again with those other veterans.
Right. So let's change clubs here just a minute. What was it about PGA Hope that helped you with what you were struggling with? We talked a little bit about that, kind of your schedule in the military is emails and phone calls and very structured and on top of it and, you know, on top of things. And then when you leave the military, you don't have that.
Right.
Right. You don't have all the emails and the phone calls and you get the to-dos and,
right.
you know, things like that. Is that a common struggle that a lot of veterans have when they leave the military life?
I think it is because, you know, like I said, there's that structure that's there and we look for that structure because that's what we've been trained to work with and that's what we've been trained to know is structure and
right.
schedule. And so for some of us, if, you know, we have plans or we say we have plans coming out, but plans don't always go the way that they're supposed to.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Yeah. And things, you know, things can kind of fall apart on us. And so, you know, that job that we said we had lined up might have fell through the cracks or that school course that we were going to take to go finish our college degree might not happen right away. So we have this little transition time frame now of what am I going to do? Everything I was planning is not working like I wanted it to. So there is that little bit of stress there and, you know, it can cause some stuff. And for myself personally, you know, I got out this past January and, at the end of January, 2023. And I was like, you know, I got a college degree. I got right. experience in this and I'm going to go and try and get a job with my degree. Well, it didn't work out the way I planned, and I wasn't getting the feedback from it or the hits that I expected when I was putting the resumes out there and, you know, kind of feeling for it. And so I was kind of getting down on myself. I was getting really depressed. You know, I was out in January. I was thinking, no problem, I get a job. Everybody that when I was in the military was like, you're going to have no problems. You got your education. You've got experience. You'll be fine. We know you'll be all right. And I had planned before getting out, and so I wasn't, you know, going out there with no arrows in my quiver, but I was kind of dumbfounded at how unsuccessful I was being. And it was getting to me, you know, on an emotional and psychological level. And so I was getting a little bit depressed and down on myself. But, you know, I had my golf buddies that had formed Working in Hope. And we, whenever we had time, we would go out and play golf.
Right.
And then it spitballed. And as I was looking for jobs and everything, it spitballed until we could go play golf 2-3 times a week and experience and talk with each other. Because those veterans that were already out of the military were going through the same stuff I was when they had first got out. You know, that wanting to be successful, but then that there's that downfall of it's not happening right away.
Right.
And so, you know, with PGA Hope, I built those friendships and those bonds, and I was able to call on those guys and say, hey, you know, what's going on? Hey, let's go play golf. And we're out on the golf course, we would just start talking about whatever.
Kind of that support group that everybody needs in their
lives. Right, absolutely. Yeah. And so, you know, we're out there and we're just playing golf, having fun, but we're also talking, you know, seeing how each other are doing. And hey, you know, were you able to finish this? Or were you able to wrap this up? Or, you know, were you able to close this portion out and then move on from it? And so it was really like a therapy session
sure.
at the same time. You know, you're out there having fun and enjoying it, you know, hoping for that good score, but you're also helping each other out in the long run with everything that you could be going through at that time.
So that really kind of answers one of my questions. The PGA Hope program has kind of helped stabilize your civilian life for you through meeting those dudes, building those relationships, and having that support network that you need kind of as you transitioned out of the military, correct?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Absolutely, yeah.
Interesting. Are you still involved with, are you actively involved with PGA Hope right now?
I am. I tried to, since I graduated last in the fall 2022 class, I tried to help out as much as I could at the local course here in Chesapeake, Virginia, or Portsmouth, really, Bidewe Golf Course, with the clinics that they've had since. So I'll show up and just whatever I can do to help. If you need help setting up, if you need me to go drive a golf cart around to see where everybody's at, if you need me to, you know, pick up golf balls or set something up, I'm willing to do it because I know what those guys are going to get out of the clinic once mm-hmm. they go through it and they graduate and they get all the, you know, the experience of that 6 to 8 weeks that they're in that course with those individuals. I know the friendships that they're going to make and, you know, what it's worth. So whenever I can offer my time, I'm definitely trying to do that.
So let's go ahead and switch clubs for a moment. In your observation, what has been the main component that most veterans take away from the PGA HOPE program? Or does it vary?
I would say that it would probably vary. So like myself, I was in a different situation and a different time in my life in a transition period. And so I took something away from it. I found a group of guys that I could still, like I said, like before, have that camaraderie with and still feel that connection to the military while being out of the military. I think some people will take away what they, you know, are really looking for to get out of it. Mm-hmm. Some people are coming to just get free golf lessons for 6 weeks, right? Or some people are coming to, you know, spend some time with, maybe they bring a family member with them, or maybe they brought a buddy and them are doing it together. One of the last classes we had, there was a husband and wife doing it together. So they had 6 weeks of, you know, golf lessons together for that time frame, and they got to, you know, be with each other for that time and experience it. So I think it's going to be very, you know, depending on that person and what they're actually looking for in the program. But there is something for everyone, absolutely.
So let me do a quick fun question here. How has your golf game improved since you joined the PGA HOPE program?
Well, I'm not on the PGA Tour right now.
So, unfortunately. Yes.
No, but
Mr. Scheffler misses your company.
That's right. Absolutely. You know, I look at my golf game improving not in terms of score, but in terms of consistency, mm-hmm. and in terms of how my ball striking is and how my putting is. And so in that aspect, I would say that my golf game has improved immensely. I'm hitting the ball further. I'm hitting the ball more accurately. I know what clubs I need to use now for the distance that I'm at. I can, you know, confidently say, oh, if I'm 150 yards out, I'm going to use my 8-iron or, you know, I'm going to whatever club I know where I'm at now. And like I said, the score may not reflect it, but my golf swing and my knowledge of me personally and my golf game has increased to no ends. And I don't think I would have had that before because they actually, like I said, they take the time and they look at your swing and they figure out, okay, you're hitting the ball this far. Let's try standing this way a little bit, or open your hands this way, or, you know, turn your body this way, or swing this way. And they really take those small things and tweak it to where it fits you individually. And so, one day my score is going to be in the 80s where I want it to be consistently. And when I get there, I'm going to look back and be like, it's all because of this.
Right. Because you remember.
Right. Because I remembered everything that the HOPE instructors taught me and the time that they took to actually work with me and teach me.
So the way the program's structured, I'm not real familiar with the details of it per se. How many golf PGA instructors are there per group? Say if there's 30 individuals for the group, how many professionals would they have?
Sure. So last count at one of our last clinics, I think there was 10 or 11 pros that actually volunteered their time to come out and help with the clinic.
Okay.
And so that's, you know, that's on a weekly basis. And last go around, we had two classes per week. We had a Wednesday and Saturday session because we have so many veterans wanting to get into this
program. Right. Yeah. That's what Sean said. It's growing way too fast.
Yes, it is. It's amazing.
I mean, that's a good problem to have. Absolutely. I mean, obviously, but.
So, you know, in those pros, out of those 11 pros, you know, when you break down a class of, you know, I think last class, our biggest number yet was, I think, 60 to 65 people here. You know, so you're looking at, you know, a pro per 5 to 6 people.
Right.
You know, so which sounds like, you know, a lot, but really those 5 to 6 people are getting one-on-one time because he can set one person and then go to the next one.
Right.
And you know, it's a small group with one person, which I think is a really good attribute of it.
And with their experience, the pros' experience, they know how to kind of maneuver around.
Absolutely. Yeah. They know how to say, okay, you do this and then move on to the next person real quick. And come back and like, okay, what are you doing?
Right. So, yeah. That's great. That's awesome. Kind of, I hope people that hear this kind of get a better feeling for what it does and what it can do for them or somebody that they know. So. My next question, what would or do you tell a skeptical veteran who you know PGA HOPE can help about the program and why they should join it?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, I tell them it's free golf.
Right.
I mean, you're getting lessons from pros for free. Mm-hmm. You know, they volunteered their time and they've been trained to work with veterans specifically. And, you know, if they're skeptical, I tell them at most, just come out and see what it's all about. I mean, like I said, if you've played golf, you've never played golf, there's something for everyone. And so being where I work now, I actually work in the Norfolk Naval Shipyard, and it's kind of the same thing I was doing while I was in the military. And that's, so I've kind of transitioned into that now. But there's tons of veterans there.
Right.
Tons of prior military in the shipyard. And so I've already met, just in one of my orientation classes, I met two or three people that were veterans, and I introduced them. I said, hey, have you guys do you guys play golf? You know, just strike up a conversation, and, you know, one or two will say yes, or, you know, they might all say no, but I've, you know, talked to a few of them and they've seemed interested in it. And so it's, I would strongly, you know, tell people that if you're sitting on the fence, just go ahead and climb over and get to the golf course, because it's, like I said, the big draw, right? Free golf.
Right.
If you're going to come out for 6 weeks.
You got nothing to lose. Fun,
right. You got nothing to lose.
And a little bit of gas money.
Exactly. And, right. And who cares, you know, where your level's at, because these guys are here to, like I said, help you from beginner to the intermediate, to the advanced players. Some, no matter what level you're at, you're going to get something out of this program.
So let's switch clubs here for a moment. The military complex, I guess, and I've thought about this a lot since I've talked with Sean Bowman and talking to you this week over the phone, is kind of a really kind of rigid, structured life, right? Why do you think it's so difficult to move into transition to civilian life from different parts of the military?
So there's the different, absolutely. So, you know, like I said, there's the different branches of military. It's not just the Navy, you know, that's here in Hampton Roads. I'm sure everybody knows the Navy, right?
Oh yeah.
But you know, you've got the Army, the Marines, the Air Force, the Coast Guard, and now even the Space Force. So you've got all these different branches and, you know, but we all do some of the same things. You know, we might have different job titles, or we might have different training and skill set, but we're serving the country and we're serving in the military, which is based on a structured format. And it's that transition, like I talked about earlier, is, you know, going from that to a civilian side, leaving behind what you've known and what you've trained to and what you've grown into. And kind of, you know, for most of us, you know, and like myself, you know, I came in a little bit later, like I said, but, you know, for most of us, they were teenagers when we joined, you know, so we were still kids. And, you know, we grew up in that, and that's all we knew. And so I think that transition is now you're leaving the only thing you've ever known behind, and you have to
Figure it out on your own.
Yeah. Now you have to be somebody different than what you were in the military.
Right.
Because the civilian side is definitely a different side. You know, there's a humor that we have that civilians might not get.
Right.
So, you know, you really have to learn how to basically almost restructure yourself a little bit and you know, conform to civilian life again.
Right.
You know?
Now, when I talked to Sean on the show, he said a lot of veterans coming into the PGA HOPE program are skeptical on the first day. Have you seen a lot of that?
I have. And I think it's because they don't know what to expect. And they show up and there's this big group and they're like, oh, is this where I'm supposed to be? Or is this the
kind of
PGA
do I fit in here?
And, right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, are you, these guys are in it too? But then what you start to see is oh, you were in the Army? So was I. Where'd you serve? Or,
right.
You were in the Navy, so was I. What ship were you on? Or, you know, were you overseas ever? You know, what would you do? So you start to see the different branches connect with each other.
Right.
And then you start to see, like, the Coast Guard guys talking to the Navy guys and the Marine guys talking to the Air Force guys. And you start to see all the other branches interact with each other. And they're realizing, hey, we're the same people.
Right.
Oh, this is cool. So, and then they start to get into groups for their different skill sets that they're doing with the golf. And then they start talking to each other, and then they start joking each other, and like, you know, start laughing and having a good time. So you start to see that it's at first they are kind of timid and kind of skeptical because, like you said, we're just a whole bunch of people just showing up, standing around, waiting for these guys to tell us what to do.
Right.
But then once they start to break it down and what the class is for and what the different each week they're going to be focusing on, and they put you in these groups and they try to separate, you know, different branches and, you know, so that way you're working with other people. They start to see that this is a great way for me to get out, and then, boom, I'm back with those military guys again, and I can be quotes in the air myself.
Right.
You know, I can be that military guy I was before, and I can joke around with them because they know my sense of humor and they know what we went through together. So, it is. You know, like I said, the skepticism is there that first day, but then after about the first hour, I start to fizzle out, and these guys are like, oh, okay, yeah, I can play golf, I can do this.
Yeah absolutely, and. Do you think that the PGA HOPE, once they're done, maybe you could tell me this from, because this is kind of right off the top of my head, what was the difference for you when you completed the program as opposed to when you came into the program? Was there kind of a noticeable change in your life and in your habits and the situation that you were going through when you went in?
Yeah. So, you know, when I finished the program, it doesn't just end there. So mm-hmm. you actually get some recognition with it. You get a certificate that you graduated the course, and we recommend everyone, once you have that certificate, to hang it if you work, because I'm sure there's other veterans there, and
yeah.
we encourage everyone that's graduated to go out and tell people about it. And so when I graduated, you know, I got a cool card saying that I graduated with PGA, and it's like I can carry it with me and I can go to other courses. And they're working on a lot of deals, you know, nationwide for us to get discounts and, you know, other things to go to courses showing that we graduated this course.
Cool.
It's recognized. And so to me, that was like really cool. And I was like, man, I accomplished something. Like I finished this course, you know, that a lot of people, you know, we did have some people that would show up and then we maybe didn't see them another, you know, for a week or two, or, you know, the schedules, or they just didn't come back at all, you know. And so whatever that individual was going through, you know, they can still come back and do it again. But, you know, when I graduated, like I said, I had formed those friendships, and once I graduated, it wasn't over. Like, we started playing golf even more, and like, oh, let's do this. And then, like I said before, I wanted to come back and help the next class and help, you know, those guys get through the class, because I saw the benefits of it, of, you know, building those bonds and those friendships, and being able to go and use golf as a tool to just hang out and to talk. But, you know, I also got other experiences from it, because, and I don't know if Sean Bowman had talked about this, but they've done this tournament the past few years called the Secretary's Cup.
Uh-huh.
And
I was up in
New York.
In New York.
Yeah, okay. It was actually a few days before the PGA Championship up
That's
there.
That's right. Yeah, he did tell us about that. Yeah.
And again, it was a PGA Hope thing, but they selected 12 different sections from the country to go and represent their section for this tournament. And I mean, I tell you what, it was like a PGA experience, as close as I could get.
And you were part of the.
I was part of that 4-man team. Absolutely.
Wow, that's amazing.
And so, you know, I felt like I was part of the PGA. Like,
sure.
I was a pro on TV. I mean, we showed up.
That's nice.
It was amazing. We showed up and we had our own lockers in the clubhouse. We had our names on the lockers like you would see anywhere else. We had, you know, we had a practice round. We had got all this, you know, gear to play in. We had matching shirts to show that we were with PGA Hope. And, you know, it was a PGA event to its fullest for
us
veterans. Just
a class act for the vets, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, what I saw from it was, you know, yes, in our section here in the Middle Atlantic, we have veterans. But I saw that it's not just helping veterans where I live. It's helping veterans everywhere.
Yeah.
Because those 11 other groups that were with us, they had veterans that had, you know, had just gotten out, like we talked about, but had been out for a while, or had been injured in combat and, you know, maybe were missing a limb at this point. And so they're out there playing golf and having fun on one leg, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, they got their prosthetic on and they're moving around and they're just enjoying themselves to the fullest. Or, you know, you really saw the diversity, because you had a large, we had one team at this golf tournament that was just women. And so this team of veteran women came out and supported and played for their, you know, their section. And it was amazing to see, because we were cheering everybody else on.
Yeah.
You know, we were rooting for everybody, and it was just all these veterans in one place seeing how this program has helped them so far and how it's continued to help them, because they're progressing and they're moving on with the game of golf. And now we're at this high level event that we can say, you know, it was just like a once in a lifetime. I was part of a PGA tournament.
Yeah.
Know? It's an amazing thing to say, and to have the, not just the memories, but the other extended friendships that you make, because now we met people from Texas, from Kentucky, from New York.
Yeah.
And so now we, you know, we got contacts with those people. Now we have veterans in other places that we can, you know, reach out to.
And that's incredible. That's incredible. This has grown pretty quickly, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Especially in this area. I mean, we went from having, you know, I think it was, my numbers might be wrong, but maybe like 1,500 to 2,000 people interested to over 13,000 people interested.
Wow.
in a matter of months.
Shoot.
You know, now it was a big push, and now we actually have a wait list for people to get into the clinics, because we've grown so much, and we're trying to, but we want to meet everybody's needs, so we are trying
to get
everybody in as much as we can.
Oh, absolutely. So my last question here, just out of curiosity, in the coastal Virginia area, do you know off the top of your head how many golf courses in the area cover PGA Hope? I know it's Bidoe here in Portsmouth. Is there any in Virginia Beach or Norfolk or?
It's Bidoe is the main one here now.
Yeah.
For this region.
Right. Oh, okay.
But there are other ones in like the Mid-Atlantic region that cover.
Okay.
Maybe
up
one.
In Richmond or.
Yeah.
Okay, got you.
But Bidoe is the main one right now. And,
yeah. Well, Adam Reeland's got he's knee deep in it.
Absolutely. Adam is
he's amazing. An incredible guy.
Yeah, amazing guy. And, you know, take his title of, you know, PGA Pro out of it, and he just has a heart for this stuff, because you know, he grew up in a Navy family.
Yeah,
his dad served.
He's a military kid.
You know, he just has a heart for it, and you can tell that he really is involved, not just for the look at me thing, But he's involved because he loves what he does, and he loves helping veterans. And you can tell when he's out there running a clinic, or he's, you know, talking to us and joking around. But he has a love for veterans and what this program does for him.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy. Well, that is amazing, Matt. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it, sharing your story with us and promoting PGA Hope here on Nick's Golf Guy Podcast.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad I could be here.
Right on. So real quick, I have a part of the show called The Short Game. It covers the BYOF and the golf language lesson.
Okay.
It's just kind of a wind down thing I do on the show here. Are you ready to go over and do that?
Let's do it.
All right, great. Matt and I are going to take a quick break here on Nick's Golf Guy Podcast, Body Week Golf Course. Be right back. Welcome back to Nick's Golf Guy Podcast, round 34, The Short Game, with my guest, Matt Sheely. Matt, I have to ask you a question.
All right.
Start off the short game. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. If you were to BYOF, that's build your own foursome, with three people, dead or alive, they do not have to be golfers, what three people would you choose?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm going to throw Michael Jordan in there.
Oh, okay.
He can actually play some golf.
Yeah, you know, he's a golfer. He's a golfer.
He's pretty good. You know, everybody knows that. Let's see. Payne Stewart.
Oh, Payne. You're the second one on the show.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
You're the second one to ring up Payne. Yeah.
Awesome. I grew up in the 90s watching him. And,
yeah, he was great.
His demeanor and his style was just unmatched.
Right.
Man, that's one a good more. One. Yeah, one more. I would say... Phil Mickelson. I know there's going to be some controversy in there.
Yeah.
You know, but when I was growing up, he was the hefty lefty.
Right.
You know, he's a little bit bigger than, but he was, you know, unbeknownst to us, you know, he was, take everything out that we didn't know, he was an amazing golfer.
Right.
And so I'd have to put him in there.
Okay, great. So Michael Jordan, yourself, Payne Stewart, and Phil Mickelson. What course would you play?
Ooh, I think... Well, I'd want to play the old course.
The old course.
Oh yeah.
All right.
I mean, it's you see.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely in top one or two.
Exactly. I mean, you see it on TV, but you know, seeing an actual PGA course in person, what you see on TV compares to nothing. What the course looks like. So,
right.
I would want to play that one. Just and plus, you know, you get a chance to fly over there and you know check it out.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Drink Scottish beer.
Right. Yeah.
Right on. All right. Cool. Okay. Now we are on to the golf language lesson. I have created the golf language lesson to help my fellow average golfers with their golfer vocabulary. I have selected three terms that are either slang terms or definitive golf terms. I will read the word and you will have to give me the definition.
All right.
Are you ready?
I think so.
Okay. First word in the golf language lesson is army golf.
Army golf.
I picked this one in particular for this,
army
this
golf.
Round.
I don't know. Army golf, no.
Army golf is going from the left side of the hole to the right, then back to the left again. Right, left, right, left. Get it?
I get it. You're marching along, all right?
Yeah, you were playing army golf and you didn't even know it.
That's right, yeah.
Right?
All the time.
All right. Okay, so the second term in the golf language lesson, Matt, is fried egg. What's a fried egg?
Fried eggs. So this one I know all too well.
Okay. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately. I know where the beaches are on almost every golf course. Right. So think about the sand trap, right? And you hit your ball and it's going up and then all of a sudden it just falls straight down to the sand.
Yep.
When you get to that ball and you look at it, it looks buried. So it looks like the top of the egg, the yolk, and then you got the sand around as the egg.
You are
so,
correct, sir. Okay. You're one for one on all the golf language lesson. Right. A golf ball buried in the bunker. Upon entering the bunker to hit the shot, we suggest asking your foursome, where's my side of bacon? All right, and the third and final word of the golf language lesson today is, this is a tricky one.
Okay.
USGA. What does USGA stand for?
So, United States Golf Association.
That is correct, but incorrect.
Yes.
It is correct. That is what the USGA stands for, but not here in the golf language lesson.
Uh-oh.
I had to throw you a curveball.
Okay.
Not to be confused with the United States Golf Association, this stands for Ugly Shot, Go Again, USGA.
Yeah, you always have to have mulligans in your pocket.
There you go.
Breakfast is all day long, so.
All day long.
That's right.
All day long. Matt, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show, my man. It was great meeting you and seeing you, having you on, and sharing the story about PGA Hope and your story, and hopefully we can get the word out and get more golf professionals and golf courses involved.
Absolutely. It's a great thing for them to get into. I'm glad I could be on today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, no worries. Thank you so much. Well, let's go. I think we got time to hit our 9.
I think we're going to play some golf.
Yeah. I think we're off. All right. Well, thank you very much. Stick around. I will be right back with the final putt here on Nick's Golf Guy Podcast, round 34. Welcome to this round 34, the final putt. I want to thank my guest, Matt Sheely, for coming on the show today and sharing his story and insights on the PGA Hope Golf Program. This round shout out goes out to my listeners in Maryland. I want to thank you for listening. Really appreciate it. On a Virginia Tech women's golf news, the Lady Hokies finished their first tournament of the year up at Michigan State, East Lansing, Michigan. Ladies Hokies finished tied for sixth place with Kent State and the Cornhuskers of Nebraska. Freshman Emily Matthews of Mabane, North Carolina led the Lady Hokies, tying for 15th place, the final score of 219 and a plus 3 finish. Next up for the Lady Hokies, the Schooner Fall Classic at Belmar Golf Club in Norman, Oklahoma, September 23rd to September 25th. Good luck to the Lady Hokies. ODU women's are off to Greenville, South Carolina for the Lady Paladin Invitational at Furman University. Good luck to my friend Clara Haberwild, who I had on the show last week, and the rest of the Lady Monarchs. I will give you an update on the round 35 of Nick's Golf Guy Podcast on how the Lady Monarchs fared. That's going to be it for this round of the show. I want to thank you for listening all the way through. Stay tuned for more interviews with golfers making a difference in the game here in coastal Virginia and beyond. And to you all, my fellow average golfers, happy golfing.